In the past number of days, there has been much talk about the handover of Saddam Hussein. The once dictator of his country is now poised to stand trial for the crimes in which he has committed against humanity. And that is the overwhelming desire of his own country folk. They cannot forget his terror. They cannot forget the many reported deaths that he was to oversee. They cannot forget the pain. And so they're glad that he now is about to stand trial. One thing which is common amongst many people when they get older is their inability to remember as they used to. It seems that as years increase, then so increases the forgetfulness. Now, of course, that is not true of everyone. You're all young folks, so I suppose I'm not speaking of you. But there are elderly people of whom I have been in their presence, and they can recall things which have happened many, many years ago. I remember in my student days sitting down with Hugh James Adams, the founder of the Free Presbyterian Church in Crossgar, and that man was, I think, 96 or 97 years of age when I was talking to him, and he could go back and he could recall things after the war in 1918. He could recall things in West Belfast in the 1920s. And his mind was as clear. And then there are others maybe not so old. And the forgetfulness seems to be already starting. But this thought of forgetting is something which is also found in the Scriptures. For we recall, for example, the words of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of your love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Or indeed we may consider that the Lord has promised a sinner not only to forgive their sin, but alas, to forget their sin. And we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Sadly, there is also another forgetfulness that we come across. A forgetfulness which we find Israel, the nation here, been charged with in the course of the words that we read together this morning. And I want you to appreciate that what was said of them in Hosea's day is very much also true of many today. Here is something I suggest, which applies to a considerable number of people. It is something which can occur at any time in the calendar year, maybe even more so in the summer months. What is it? It is the sin of forgetting God. Look at the end of the words of verse 6 of Hosea chapter 13. Therefore have they forgotten me. Is there someone in this meeting and you have forgotten God? That's what we're dealing with today. Let me show you, first of all, the temptations to forget God. It is almost inconceivable that it could ever be said of the people of God that they have forgotten God. It's almost unthinkable. It maybe is something which you would align with the ungodly. But alas, many of the ungodly seems even unlikely to forget the Lord. And yet that is what we are facing in this passage. And that is what is reality of today. I'm speaking about God's people forgetting God. And we therefore must ask the question, what would lead people to forget the Lord God? What are the causes and the reasons why men should forget about God? And I believe we go a long way to answering those questions by looking and by considering the context that these verses are before us in Hosea. The temptation to forget God is more prevalent when there is no trouble. You see, look at the words of verses in Hosea chapter 13, and you realize that the nation of Israel are those that are in question. The time noted is when they were traveling, making their way through the wilderness, that place which was barren, and it was then in their trouble that the verse 5 tells us that the Lord knew them. And the sense of the term there is that the Lord had an acquaintance with His people. They were dependent upon them for their everything. They could not survive in ceasing to think upon the Lord. Wilderness in itself suggests to us the sort of terrain that they were journeying through. There were times when there was no water. And there was that time when they went to Marah and the water was so bitter that they could not drink it. But it was in that place that God knew them. In the midst of those afflictions. He knew them morning by morning as the manna fell. He knew them when the quails came to bring them flesh to eat. He knew the morning and then the evening sacrifices when the little lambs were brought on their behalf to God and sacrificed to God. He knew them. And if you turn with me over to the book of Deuteronomy, and in chapter 29, you will see there just how much God cared for them, just how much God provided for them in those 40 years of the wilderness wanderings. Deuteronomy chapter 29, in the words of verse 5, here's the message which Moses, God's servant, gives to the children of Israel right now on the threshold of the river Jordan. He says, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. I have led you. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you." That's a miracle, men and women. You and I do not wear clothes this morning that are 40 years old. That's why we have drapery shops. You need the change of garment. But here's a people, and their clothes through those 40 years have not waxed old. And the shoe, thy shoe, is not waxing old upon thy foot. That's a miracle. Their shoes were still as good 40 years later. Ye have not drunken bread, and you have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. God cared for them. God provided their every need through those 40 years in the wilderness. And if you look further in the book of Deuteronomy, in the chapter 8 this time, you will consider with me that the Lord was to warn them strongly about this sin of which they were to commit. Deuteronomy chapter 8, in the words of verse 11, look at it there. It says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." They were well warned. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgment and His statutes, which I command thee this day." They weren't to forget the one who was to bring them through such a place. What sort of place was it? Look at the words of verse 15 of that same chapter. "Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter thy latter end." He provided for them. And in that provision he warned them, "You're not to forget the Lord thy God." In a time of affliction, that great and terrible place, it was then that they considered the Lord. The Lord knew them. But when God increased, and when the afflictions, if you like, were lifted, as they were to enter into that land which flowed with milk and honey, and they entered into cities which they didn't have to build, and they entered into homes which they never constructed, and they used the vineyards which they never planted, it was then that they are found to take their ease in Zion. And God says, "They have forgotten me." The more the goodness of God was known, then the less that they remembered God. The words of verse 6 in our chapter reflect something of the goodness and the mercy of God. We read there, they had pasture, and they made good use of it, and they were filled. I wonder, can we not say the same about some of God's people today? Some have been blessed greatly in life, and the business or the work or whatever that may be, it has done well, and now there is a resemblance of a little ease. But that, my friend, has been the very thing. That, my friend, has been the very cause for you and to tempt you to forget God. And you feel it's no longer necessary for you to pray now. Things are smelling of roses in the garden. There's not much trouble around. The temptation is to forget God. But another cause was the fact that in having everything in Canaan, they had a love for other things other than God. They were in want of no good thing. Where before they were found to cry unto God for water and for their provision in Canaan, now they had their needs met. They were no longer in poverty of the very essentials of life. They soon ceased to cry unto God for their daily bread. One might have thought that having been blessed of God in such a way, and let's remember something this morning, that the Bible reminds us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And one would have thought that with the increase of God's blessings upon them, and with such a change from the struggle of the wilderness and of Egypt before that, that that would have caused them to love the Lord more and love His cause more. But in fact, it was the very opposite. For they have forgotten me, God says. They had gone up temporally, but they had gone down spiritually. They had barns which were full, but their hearts now were empty. And with the increase in goods, their love for God was also displaced. Their affections were set on the things of the earth. And so it is with many today. There is an indulging in those things which they now call pleasure. And there is a robbing of that spirit which used to compel you to seek the Lord in prayer and to study His Word and to further His cause and to serve Him. Aye, there's not that compellation upon you now to be found in the means of grace. And I say it. Maybe for some, even the church services don't seem the same to you. You can go through the motions of sitting in a pew every Sunday morning. You can hear the preacher preach, but it does not register in your heart. You don't seem to be able to get anything out of the message. And maybe you are critical of the singing in the church or something else in the church. While there are others of God's people, and they do get a word, and they are blessed, and they do enjoy the singing, and they do enjoy this, that, and the other. But for you, there's an emptiness. It was C.H. Spurgeon who said, "What makes the difference between one meal and another meal is not the fault of the cook. It is the want of an appetite." My dear friend, you who profess faith in Christ, some of you have lost your spiritual appetite. And that's why you get nothing out of the message. And that's why you're critical of this, that, and the other. And that person across there, and that person in front of you. You're feeding on other things which you love more. You've lost your spiritual appetite. For where the heart is, there is your treasure. People were living for self. They were like the church at Laodicea, who were rich and increased with goods. They felt they had need of nothing, not even the Lord. And thus they forgot God. Is God describing you this morning, this service? Have you forgot the Lord? Could the words of Jeremiah 2 and verse 32 be placed upon you? It says, can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? I conducted a wedding just on Thursday past. And you know, with any wedding, there is much organization and there's much planning that was within that day. And the bride has got to get her attire right. And the bridesmaids. And the question is asked, can a bride forget her attire? It's nearly impossible. Yet, my people have forgotten me days without number. That's what the Lord says. Yet you who are saved, you've forgotten God days without number. You forgot Him yesterday. You didn't open the book yesterday. And maybe Friday as well. And maybe Thursday you weren't found in prayer. And Wednesday, days without number, the Lord says, and you've forgotten me. What are the temptations that have brought you into that state? Let me show you secondly here the tragedy of forgetting God. It is sad when worldly things get into the soul and they're brought right into the house of God. And that is what happens with many who are found going through the motions of worship to God. What a tragedy when the believer, when the one who professes faith in Christ has wandered so far away from the Lord, is taken up with other things, that they now have forgotten God, the one who ever looked upon them in mercy and in love. For let's understand something before we go any further, that these words are addressed to God's people. These words concern the people of God. At the very least, it shows that one that there is a need of recognizing their sin and there's a need for them to return to their first love. To consider how tragic a sin this was for these people, then they would only have to remember the blessing of the many deliverances that God had given them. The heart may have been lifted up in pride and abundance now, but there was that time when they were languishing in Egypt under the command of the Pharaohs. There was that time when their sighs by reason of the bondage was heard in heaven, and God heard their groanings when no one else did. And He was to remember His covenant, Exodus chapter 2. He was to raise up a deliverer in Moses. He was to deliver His people from that land through the opening up of the Red Sea. They had forgotten that. There were the deliverances from the drought and from the famine that we've already touched upon. There were deliverances by God from all their enemies that were to be met and were to be faced along the way. When they were to forsake the Lord and His precepts and were under the control of the enemy, it was God in His mercy who was to raise up the judges, and Israel was to know peace again in their land. But they'd forgotten all that. They've forgotten the many deliverances. What a tragedy. Dare I say it, that the same is true of some of God's people who has forgotten God. You have forgotten the blessings of God. In the one in whom we live, we move, and we have our very being. You have forgotten the greatest deliverance of all, that day when the Lord snatched you as a brand out of the burning. That night when God revealed to your soul that you were a lost sinner and you needed Christ and you were gloriously converted to the Savior. You have forgotten what it meant for God the Holy One to bear away your sin. You have forgotten the precious blood of Christ that was freely shed that your sins might be forgiven, that you might be atoned for. Oh, you say this morning, preacher, I haven't forgotten. about those things. I haven't forgotten God. Then why is it that you spend little time with God in your home? Why is that? And maybe for some, the book is not taken down from one Sabbath to the next. Oh, listen, dear soul, let's own up to the thing this morning. You're never found at the means of grace and prayer. And although you may profess faith in Christ, and although you may profess to be a child of God, yet you're never exercised to stay behind times to remember the Lord's death until He come. Why? You've forgotten God. Your conscience will not allow you to stay for the Lord's table because you're walking afar off. I say to you, I tell you this morning that there are more. There are more than there are care to admit it that have forgotten God. What a tragedy. And in forgetting God, you've forgotten those promises which He has given. 2 Peter 1 verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Promises which are yea and amen in Christ, and which are as sure as God is. Promises which you have proved in your life in a bygone day. Those times of sorrow when you have known the Lord God drawing near. Times of family heartache when the promise of the Lord to your soul has been, "My grace is sufficient for you." Promises which are innumerable. Promises which are still to be fulfilled and which the covenant-keeping God has both made and will still bring to pass. Listen, the nation of Israel had the promise of the coming Messiah and of God's dear Son, yet they still forgot God. They still forgot Him. You, dear believer, have the promise of that home in heaven free from sorrow, taint and sin, but you've forgotten God. You think you can go on your way in life. Don't need to think about the Lord. Oh, I got saved way back and that does me. What a tragedy. But maybe the most tragic part of it all is the fact that you have forgotten the claims that God has upon you. You have forgotten that He is your Heavenly Father. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, "For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." You've forgotten that having saved and sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise, that He has adopted you into His family and into His fold, and you are not your own, but you're a child of His this morning. And as His own purchased with precious blood, you're considered as the beloved of God, as the apple of His eye. You've forgotten who God really is. That holy God. That sovereign God. He is one who knows all things, the one who looketh not on the outward appearance. But He sees beyond just the mere appearance in the house of God. He looks in the heart this morning. He knows what state that heart of yours is in before Him. A God who is mindful of man. And if He is mindful of ordinary men, then how much more does He take note of what His own people do? You've forgotten what was said of old, "The Lord thy God is a jealous God." And that holy jealousy stems out from a limitless love. And the giving of a part of your heart unto something of the world or the flesh of the devil is that which is causing sadness and grieving to God, for He counts His children so dear to Him. I ask you again this morning, is God saying to one, they have forgotten me? Hold apart, careless believer. How can you live from day to day in forgetfulness of God? What a tragedy. Let me show you here, finally, the terrible judgment for forgetting God. In forgetting the Lord, you will notice that it wasn't something which could be passed over. If one of your children were for to forget you in the physical sense, Father, it would be a very hard heart of yours that would say, I wouldn't care. Wouldn't worry me. You'd be a hard man to say that. But what we're looking at, what we're speaking about here is our Heavenly Father. And a Heavenly Father who is forgotten by His own redeemed children. And as we've already seen, it is a sin. And a sin which you would expect must be punished and judged. Look at the wording which follows this verse. The Lord says, He will be unto those that forget Him as a lion. Verse 7. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. And you know what a lion does. It is strong. There is no resisting him. And the lion waits to pounce upon its prey. And so will God by His judgments watch over that one as a leopard to do them hurt, as He has done to watch over them to do them good. There is judgment for forgetting God. Leopard is well known for its quick-sightedness above any creature. And so it intimates to us that not only is there the power, but there's the wisdom of God spoken about there, and it's engaged against those whom He has noted have forgotten Him. God shall cause those objects that you have set your affections upon to be embittered to you. And notice again that He will be like the bear in verse 8 that has been robbed of her young. Does that not convince you this morning how hurt and how highly provoked God is of those who have forgotten Him? My dear soul, here is a sin which is to be repented of. And thank God there is a cure for the one who has forgotten God. And you know what that cure is? It is to be found in getting back to the cross where you first met with the Lord. That's your cure. It's repenting of your old ways. Getting back to the cross. You need to get back there and look afresh at what the Savior has accomplished on your behalf. You need to get back there by faith and repent of this evil and bitter thing of forgetting the Lord. And I want to show you that even though God is hurt by your sin and by your actions, yet He is merciful and He is forgiving. If you look at the words of verse 9, you'll see that to be the case. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. It's your sin that has taken you away. It is your sin that has evoked my judgment. But in me is thine help. The Lord God is still the help that you need this morning. You have destroyed yourself, maybe your testimony and your walk by your sin. But God says, I will restore you to my favor by my grace. I wonder, dear soul, will you give back to Him this morning? You know who you are. You know you've forgotten God.
You going to come back? And remember what He has done for you afresh. I must say in closing that here is something which is also true of the unsaved. For you have received manifold blessings from above, and yet you have never taken the time to thank God. There is none that seeketh after God. You may live each day with not a thought of God about you. You have never repented of your sin. You have never asked the Lord to save your soul. You are still a stranger to Him this morning. Oh, my dear soul, if you will not care to consider Christ and His sufferings upon the tree and be saved, then one day you will experience for all eternity this terrible judgment of which I've been speaking about. You will experience for all eternity the wrath and the judgment of God. You say, "Preacher, how do I know?" Well, if you come with me just for a second to Psalm. Psalm number 9. And the verse 17. I would that the Lord would burn even this text of Scripture on your heart before you leave. Psalm 9 verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." That's your eternal judgment. You forget God through this time of life. You will not repent of your sin. You will not acknowledge Christ and what He has done for you on the cross. And my friend, you're stirring into the very judgment for the wicked, and that's what you are. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. How dreadful to stand before that great white throne judgment. To hear those words from the judge, "I never knew you. I never knew you." Oh, may that not be so with anyone in this meeting. Is it not time that you remembered God? Is it not time you got saved? Will you not come this morning? Trust Him. To save your precious soul. Trust Him. To enable you to walk a Christian life. May God help you to come. May God bless His word to each of our hearts this morning. For His own name's sake.